What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 26th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Ian Gemming, that is like Ian Seymour being Ian Fleming, he did a great job against the Guardians on Monday. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. What? 10 whiffs, 34% CSW. Now, it was on 67 pitches. And the Guardians are really bad against lefties because they have all these lefties that they throw against right-handers, and then their right-handed lineup is not nearly as good. But this is another case of a lefty with a changeup doing well without a good fastball. 91.8. Yes, it has 17 inches of vert, but he has a steep attack angle, so it kind of counters it out, or it nullifies it, and the extension is mid. It's not much after that. There's a cutter. Like, what Seymour does is he stays away, down and away with a changeup. Two right-handers, and then four seamers and cutters upstairs away. It's kind of like the Jacob Lopez thing a bit, of the cutters coming back over, and then the four seamer kind of staying up and maybe too far off the plate. Not much of a sweeper. It kind of showed up against lefties. Fine. I don't really think that Ian Seymour is that good. I don't really think it's much to focus on. However, he does get the Nationals next. That's another example of the Guardians with a left-handed focus crew who struggle against lefties, and especially a guy with a good changeup. So I guess we go with that, and then we get the Guardians again. It might be a little bit rougher because it'll be in George Steinbrenner Field, not in, what is it? It's the one with the P. I can't remember. Progressive Field, my gosh, in Cleveland, right? That's a better place to pitch than in George Steinbrenner Field. So I guess you can go for that with Ian Seymour. 67 pitches, though, so that might mean he might not even go five. 75 pitches could mean 4 and change if he's not as efficient. I mean, it was just 2 base runners, right? So it's really not someone I'm leaping over to go and get. I think there are better 12-teamer options right now. Speaking of which, Emmett Sheehan was a stream yesterday. I know, under 20% rostered. Why is beyond me, because this was the Reds carpet, and yeah, he dominated. Got the win, 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. Did not get the golden goal because 2 guys had 21 whiffs, but he had 20 whiffs. 41% CSW for that King Cole. And yeah, that four-seamer is incredible. It had an 118 PLV location plus, which is one of the best ones of yesterday, not the best, and a 139 fan four plus, which is essentially the prediction of earning a whiff. It's 39% better than the average four seamer. Long story short, that's elite. It's an elite four seamer. He located his slider really well. The Reds couldn't handle that. There were some good changeups in there too. Yeah, he's solid. He gets 2 other good starts. It's at PNC Park and then hosting Rocky Road. You want it. So go and get Emmett Sheehan. And honestly, there are situations where if you are worried about the next start for a guy, you might just want to go for Emmett Sheehan right now instead, because the next 2 weeks are more worthwhile and more important for your leagues than the 4 weeks after. Okay, you will figure out the other 4 weeks. Just go and get what is best for you now. That's a third of the season. Okay. Edward Cabrera against Atlanta. Got the win. 7 innings. 0 runs. 1 hit. 2 walks. And 10 strikeouts. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad to see Edward Cabrera bounce back. Changeup was the foundation again. Four seamers actually were 60% strikes. And he was throwing slightly more than sinkers. He went upstairs to lefties. They worked out. It was pretty cool. The curveball, the sinker, the slider, they all helped out. And now he gets the Mets and Phillies. I'm going to go for it. I know the Mets are kind of hot right now as an offense, and I get that. But I'm going to go for this with Edward Cabrera. Shane Smith went against the Royals, got the win. I think this was a bit of a Koufax situation. That is a lot of helpful BABIP, as it was really four-seamer and sinker gearing up for 7 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and just 3 strikeouts. Only 6 whiffs total. The curveball, the slider changeup, all that stuff didn't really do a whole lot. And I don't really think that Shane Smith is that good with those. Yes, it is 7 feet of extension and 96, but the vert isn't there. The attack angle isn't there. And yes, that does help with having the separation of four-seamer and sinker over the plate. It's how Brandon Woodruff, we'll talk about him soon, had so much success last night. It's what he does. But Shane Smith needs to have something else for me to really feel confident in this, considering he's just 6 whiffs and 3 strikeouts. So I would not go after him against the Yankees next, Shane Smith. Now, speaking of the Yankees, you have Cam Schlittler dominating again. Remember last week, he flirted with perfection. Well, this was against the Nationals. Got the win, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks. Oh, boy. 13 whiffs, 34% CSW. His four-seamer is fantastic. Still 97, 98. I saw that in the debut, and I was like, well, okay, hold on. It's going to fall down to 96. It hasn't. It's actually flirted closer to 98 than the 97. It's incredible. The sinker is not really taking off as we want it to, but the approach that we saw last time of going four seamers with cutters and curves, as opposed to having that slider, that sweeper, those pitches. Yeah, those are gone. Really, the slider is the cutter, but it's just that it's tighter now. It's closer to the, it's closer in drop down to the X axis. So really the zero of the Y, just more consistently closer to zero drop, right? Which is what you want, zero vert, as you want to be going down. So Cam is looking great. The curve is also generally low now. The cutter needs to be a little bit lower too. It was a little too high at times in this one. But yeah, we are very much in on Cam Schlittler moving forward. Jose Soriano is still a hipster. And what's so wild to me is he had this good game against the Rangers. He got the win, 5.2 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. That's great. And what's the thing I've been saying about Jose Soriano for the entire year? Well, yeah, that he's a hipster. But when he does well, what is it? It's his sinker getting a lot of strikes. We've seen it with 70% plus, and generally that just correlates with success. This one was 56%. Thank you, Rangers, for not waiting longer and not earning those walks. Only just one walk in this one, and I'm happy to see it. He is still exactly what he is, a headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. Brennan Bernardino opened for the Red Sox and for Richard Fitz against the Orioles. And if you took a stab at this one, because I remember the hype in spring with Richard Fitz, and yeah, he was at 96. I was worried he'd be at 94 and change. He was at 96. He did get you a win if you did go for this against Baltimore. However, it was 4 innings, 300 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. And I'm sad to tell you that he left this game with an arm injury. Yeah. So that's interesting. What is kind of weird is that Peyton Toll is in the Red Sox minor leagues. He would be the next guy up, theoretically. Could be Cooper Criswell. Instead, he's not on the 40-man toll. But let's say they put Richard Fitz on the 60-day IL. That would open it up, just like Jonah Tong with Frankie Montas going on the 60-day IL. That does allow for a non-40-man arm to then take the spot. So it is in consideration for both those guys. If Peyton Toll gets the call up for the Red Sox, you are absolutely picking him up. Same with Jonah Tong. I don't think it'll be Jonah Tong or Peyton Toll, personally. I think it'd be really fun and great if they did. But the way for the Mets, you just have Tyler McGill go when he's ready, and you don't have to have a replacement in the rotation. They can just do the 5-man rotation, even though they don't have a day off this week. They wanted to do a 6-man thing, but fine. As for the Red Sox, yeah, they have Cooper Criswell who's done well, right? Like, you can go with him instead. So, it's fine. If they do come up, you do grab them. Spencer Strider, he was giving me the heebie-jeebies. I was scared to do the start. It is against Miami. So, fine. I went with it. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Whew! But yeah, 3 Ks, right? 10 whiffs. Now, the main problem with Strider has been his four-seamer. It is not 97. It is not getting lots of vert, except for today. 17 inches of vert, now underneath 16. That is an improvement, but 95.4, not even the 96 that we've seen. While the slider at 84 and change wasn't getting all the ridiculous whiffs, did not get as many strikes as we normally see. A 15% swinging strike rate on that slider is about 10 points fewer than the 25% we've seen throughout the year, right? So we're not out of the woods with Strider. I'm happy he got this good one. But now he goes into Philadelphia. He goes to host the Mariners in 50 home run Cal Raleigh. And he has to face the Astros. I don't want to start Strider. I would rather pick up Emmett Sheehan than hold on to Strider. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but we have to be honest at this point in the season. Strider is a liability. Tarek Skubal, you're absolutely holding on to that. 21 whiffs for a gallows pull there. Oh my gosh, 6.2 innings and 100 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 12 Ks as he went into Sacra Verde, and it didn't matter. Yeah, okay. Johan Oviedo is a very interesting pitcher, and I want to tell you guys some things about him, and I will after this break. Johan Oviedo, once again, 100 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks, but it was only 4 innings. And that's really weird because he went 75 pitches last time, 5 innings, and this was 53 pitches. I'm a little upset about it because Oviedo, I mean, you could have gone 5 innings. It would have been fine. 34% CSW, 7 whiffs over 53 pitches is kind of like 13% swing strike rate, which is great. And the skills that he has is this four-seamer that is super flat, like 1.7 VAA, height adjusted VA, with a 7 foot, sorry, not a 7 foot, like a 7.5 foot extension. Like, it is right there. And like 95, 96. Maybe not the height adjusted VAA as good as I'm thinking, but I think it is. He just can't command it upstairs. He doesn't really have the best overall command. The slider is still filthy, but it's not like this guy's surgically taking down batters, right? And that is, that makes for a cherry bomb. It makes for a guy that you likely don't want actually want to go with, which is a little annoying, but oh, it's so close. Jacob DeGrom, aces gonna ace. He allowed a two-run shot. Allowed a solo shot to Neto in the first. It was the only mistake on the fastball. It was 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks, 15 whiffs. Nate Schwartz put out a great article at Pitcher List about Jacob DeGrom's command this season. You should definitely check it out because it really is the difference between Jacob DeGrom now and Jacob DeGrom before. JT Ginn against the Tigers, 5.1 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. And he froze a lot of those Tigers with that sinker. Got 5 Ks on that sinker and only 3 whiffs total on it. And he did have some good changeups. Had 2 strikeouts on the changeup and 1 on the slider. But it's not quite incredible enough for me to be like, oh, JT Ginn's got this and everything's cool. He does get Texas. It's in Sacre Verde. Then goes into the Angels territory. So, okay. And then hosts the Reds. Reds carpet. It is also in Sacre Verde, right? So that might be a decent enough schedule. Like, Ginn isn't having bad command. It's just not the elite one that I think he needs without incredible stuff. So he's definitely worthwhile in your AL-only formats and probably in your 15-teamers too. But in your 12-teamers, I think you can do better. Hunter Green had an annoying start against the Dodgers. He allowed 2 home runs off the slider. And yeah, they weren't good sliders, and that was it. His 4-seamer, though, averaged 100.3 miles per hour, and that's just bonkers. 5 innings, 300 runs, ultimately. 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks, but 17 whiffs. I mean, that's just a bad put-away rate. That's just really annoying. And that's one of the things I got to tell you guys about when it comes to strikeouts. If they have a low strikeout total, likely it's put-away rate being weird, and it's a certain pitch not being executed in 2 strike counts, and you have to ask yourself if that is going to return or not. Kodai Senga against the Phillies, very disappointing. 4 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Yeah, he has not been good. Thing is, he gets the Marlins next. So I'm going to push off any sort of conversation about Senga because you should be starting him against the Marlins at the very least. J.P. Sears went against the Mariners in the T, and it didn't go well. 3.2 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Not much has changed with Sears and the Padres, so we're not doing that. Max Scherzer has always been good, and he honestly was good here, save for a 2-run shot in the 6th. Oh no, it ruined it. He still got a win. It was 6 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 K, so good whip. 5 strikeouts, got a win. It's just that stupid 2-run shot ruined the ERA. So it goes, careful Icarus, and we continue starting Max Scherzer. Tomoyuki Sugano against the Red Sox didn't quite come through, got the loss, 6 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. However, it was 2 home runs, and generally Sugano did what he needed to do, and now he gets the Giants. So, fine. It's a questionable start stream for Sugano. It's possible. But yeah, a 3-run shot in the 5th inning, just that was it. Michael McGreevy against the Pirates, 6 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. You'll see a trend here. A lot of times it's just a home run that just ruined it and they almost had it. And that's what happened with McGreevy. He had 2 home runs here, which is very strange. And also 7 strikeouts, which is also very strange. He threw a lot of 4-seamers to the lefties. Kind of not really typical. Right-handers he destroyed. He had a great time with this. His command was fantastic with the sinker and the slider was good and it was just great. But lefties, the changeup and the cutter and the 4-seamer, eh. Was not quite it. Sorry, not the changeup. The curveball, the cutter, and the 4-seamer. So, yeah, I wouldn't really worry about this. He has a really good schedule. He's still a questionable start because I don't expect 7 strikeouts, but I expect better ratios. It's an elite defense. The number one defense in the majors is the Cardinals. And McGreevy should be playing more into that, honestly. It's weird for him to see this more 3 true outcome game from him. And I imagine it's going to be a lot more grounders, a lot more ratio-focused and quality start win potential. Bryce Miller against the Padres did a very weird thing. 5 innings, 4 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. You're not happy with it, save for the win. That's nice. But he threw 47% splitters to lefties. This is Bryce Miller, the guy that throws 4-seamers endlessly and have been waiting for a secondary pitch to show up. And yes, I'm a little sad that it's the splitter and not something else, not like a cutter or a slider or whatever. Just splitters are the most volatile one. But he did throw 88% strikes against lefties. I mean, that's pretty cool in 17 throws. So that's 5 over 17, or 15 over 17, if I do my math correctly. Amazing. So I'm kind of excited about that. I am sad that he didn't come through in a home start. That's supposed to be where he's amazing and incredible. But yeah, I'm encouraged by this. At the very least, there's something else now instead of just four-seamer and sinker, right? Tanner Bibee, he had decent changeups and decent cutters, but not enough. And it's still just so disappointing that I don't want him on my team. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Blech. Wasn't even in Tampa Bay. It was in Cleveland. Come on. Joe Ryan also had a very disappointing start. It was 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. He got bamboozled for 4 earned runs in the first, and that's just annoying. Brad Lord, 4.1 innings of 6 earned runs. You shouldn't go after him, even though he has 18 inches or 19 inches of run on a sinker. It's just like he's not utilizing it properly at all. Don't go after Brad Lord. Other starts are Brandon Woodruff against the Diamondbacks. He had 21 whiffs for a Gallows ball and a 39% CSW. Almost got that golden goal there. 5.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. Are you kidding? He had a 3-run shot in the 6th right before ending it. Oh my gosh, he was so close. Yeah, 5.2 innings ultimately. Careful Laker is there. But this is a situation of just throwing 93 miles per hour, 4-seamers with good vert, and then sinkers with good extension, and just playing that over the plate. Decent extension, not really that great, but then having a cutter too. And guys just can't tell the difference between these three pitches for strikes. And that's how he's doing this in 93. Christopher Sanchez just had a terrible game against the Mets, and what are you going to do? 5.1 innings of 5 runs. He couldn't throw the changeup for strikes. It was too much in the zone, and there you go. I don't really think he's a top 20 pitcher for 2026. I think he's had a really good run. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you just keep starting him. Eduardo Rodriguez did not have a good outing against the Brewers. 2.1 innings of 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I actually think he kind of located decently well. He had some bad ones that were hit, the bad 4-seamers that were hit by right-handers. And we should probably sit this out until he gets the Giants on September 10th, okay? I mean, that's when we're going to return into this. And last is Noah Cameron against the White Sox. The White Sox are becoming the Sly Sox instead of the Cry Sox. Because it was 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Wow. I'm amazed that he didn't get a single strikeout because, honestly, his command wasn't terrible. And it was just one of those days. I would start him against the Detroit Tigers. I really don't think that all of a sudden he is now just donezo. So keep the faith with Noah Cameron. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.